And hello, people of the internet. How's it going today? How you doing? I'm Billy Bones, and this is A Walk Through the Mind, a moment where we can sit down, hang out, chit-chat, discuss a handful of ideas that have been bouncing around inside my head, see if we can't take those ideas for ourselves and go out and get the conversation started with friends, family, the people we meet on the street, or maybe we just get those gears turning with our own heads and see where it takes us. So how's your living wage treating you? Whether or not you agree with it's the wage that you should be paid, or the wage that you can live comfortably with, it is the wage that you are currently living with. Sometimes our living wage is ample enough to support a stay-at-home parent, have that parent raise kids. Sometimes our living wage is not enough to afford a cell phone bill, that car insurance. But we got to do what we got to do in order to pay the bills, right? And people say that living wages are wages that you should be able to live and accomplish your life, all your life's goals and dreams with, to make things happen. I would call that a successful living wage, not merely just a living wage. But there's that level of competency where you need to bring a minimal amount of effort to maintain this minimal requirement job. And minimals, bare bones, bottom of the barrel, doesn't really qualify as extraordinary. And I'm not saying it's not a level of success, but it's minimal. It's nothing. We can have priorities for what we would deem to be an appropriate living wage. But the money is just not always there. When the fast food workers were talking about raising their wages to $15 an hour because they needed to be able to pay their bills, people were saying that was a bad idea. Going to give the owners, people running the business, more justification to outsource your jobs to computers, robots. And $15 wasn't enough. No, places like California had too much inflation, too much high cost of living. So they raised the wage for fast food workers to $20 an hour, and fallout has begun.
And we turn now to the fast food sticker shock in California after the minimum wage for workers out west was raised. Our chief business correspondent, Rebecca Jarvis, is here with the details. Good morning, Rebecca.
Good morning to you, Lindsay. Yeah, I am hearing from customers every day who say they are already feeling that sticker shock. Restaurants have been warning about this since September when California voted to increase large fast food chains' minimum wage by 25% from $16 to $20 an hour. In that time, restaurants in the state have increased prices by 10% faster than all other states, according to Data Essential.
Now to catch this, because they cram a lot of numbers. They cram a lot into just a minute of a report. 25% wage increase sounds like a good number. $20 an hour sounds like good pay, until you realize gas is $7 a gallon out in California. But I guess under terms of $16 an hour, got to justify it, got to make it a little bit easier. But they're also raising prices 10% faster than all the other restaurants out there. You got to be able to pay for everything.
A wage increase is meant to give more financial security to the more than 500,000 people who work in fast food restaurants in California and are not teenagers but adults working to support their families. The California Restaurant Association says the price hikes were entirely predictable results of the minimum wage increase. Since it took effect, job losses, reduced working hours, restaurant closures, and higher prices for California's inflation-weary customers have been ongoing, the group said. And guys, this is something all the consumers who are facing it now are now facing a choice of whether or not to trade down. Many of them, I hear, are doing just that, spending less because they have to spend more.
Spending less because they have to spend more. All those wage increases raised the menu prices, but it also created job cuts. There's fewer people working. Fewer people working fewer hours because now there's even less money coming in. And it became an attack on both sides for these poor, unsophisticated folk whom the public school system seems to have failed them, or they made less than stellar life choices. This is now what they're stuck with. It's the only job they can get. But the damage has been done. Do you see California rolling back their minimum wages to make it easier for businesses to recover, come after things. These businesses be able to pay their employees a wage that reflects the effort that they are required to bring to make this job functional. They seem to be stuck with it. Whereas a handful of months ago, there was a introduction to attempt to raise the Tennessee minimum wage to $20 an hour. Statewide base payment. Something that I know my boss couldn't afford. He'd lose all his employees. Not because he didn't want to keep them, but because he couldn't afford them. Couldn't raise his prices enough to justify that kind of a cost increase. And so at least with my job, even if $20 were to be a requirement, I at least wouldn't have to worry about robots flipping burgers on my schedule. I don't flip burgers. I'm in the farming industry. But AI is not coming for my job. AI is coming for middle management jobs. AI is coming for driving jobs, Uber and Lyft. We'll see if it gets anywhere close to the semi-truck drivers by the time I hit retirement. But that's not to say a level of automation doesn't come in and take over in an attempt to reduce costs, because AI doesn't need a bathroom break. AI doesn't stop working because it's tired. AI doesn't get hungover. And nor does machinery. Things like the power loom, when those came into effect, you used to have to weave cloth by hand. Got to be on the dangerous side, but it was doable. Easy enough. Then these power looms came in with their speed and precision. They were able to make things happen a lot faster. Took away some of the skill. The rumor goes that French peasants wearing clogs took their clogs off, their sabots, or sabots, I guess because it's French, sabot, and threw them into the machinery, wrecked them all to pieces, giving us the etymology of the word sabotage, going in there to destroy it. At $20 an hour doesn't sabotage my job. Not by me. $20 an hour by my government mandating my boss pay me that. It's a level of sabotage, because again, it's not just the business that has to pay. It has to increase prices, which means the customers have to pay. Customers want cheap fast food. Fast food is no longer cheap. But I'll be making my own version of the power loom for my own business. There's machinery out there that's available. Start financing it, starting at $1 million for its entire production line setup. The whole kit and caboodle shipped to your door, and you can be on your way to industrial levels of food production. Be fantastic. But it's cost prohibitive. It's not possible on such a small scale. But there's a need to be more efficient, to get a turnaround, and maybe I'll get my $20 an hour when production levels are increased to a certain level, to a certain point, and we can yield consistent quality results. I have blueprints written out. I have parts on order. And I'm not an engineer, it's a problem. But I'm going to engineer, I'm going to design something to make my job a little bit easier. Something that we can even potentially reduce general work and labor costs by turning a two-person job into a one-person job. And if this project becomes successful, I already have a general idea, parts list laid out, to improve the process the step before this one, making it just a little bit more efficient. We don't save time in the second project, but if it sets up project number two, or how confusing this gets, if project number two sets up and improves project number one has already increased speed and efficiency, and now it will only make it faster, better, stronger, quicker, because we will have the technology. But I sympathize with those individuals out in California, those fast food workers struggling to make it by. But fast food, quick and easy, minimal requirement jobs were not meant to be life-sustaining jobs. But they can be, and I know they can be because I've lived next to, and I've seen plenty of immigrant families come forward, come through, and work harder than any naturalized American citizen to go home, live in a crowded house with too many people, and take a large portion of their income and send it back home overseas. Regardless of the value of the U.S. dollar to whichever currency they're exchanging it to. They take a majority of the money and they send it off. And they still make a life here in the United States happen. They scrimp, they pinch, they make it happy, or happen. Whether or not they're happy, that's a different story. And even if they are, they make it happen. They make themselves happy because they work hard enough to justify it. They understand that it's a struggle. And in the long run, they know it's worth it. They'll be able to pull through. Their sacrifice will be justified because they're doing it for a higher purpose. They don't always need the latest iPhone. They don't need every last movie subscription. And as I sit here being the pot, calling the kettle black, we could take this time of Netflix subscriptions, surfing the phone, trade out your iPhone for a flip phone that does nothing. Now you can't surf the internet. You can't watch Netflix. Might as well go to the library and read, improve our lot in life so that way we're not stuck at fast food restaurant that we have to lean on other people, force them to pay us a better wage, better income. And even when they do, prices go up, sales go down because people don't want to pay that much. Not for something that is advertised to be cheap. People will pay good money. They'll pay big bucks for something that is advertised that is supposed to be expensive, fairly worth it. But AI is not taking the podcasting gig just yet. They think it's taken the music industry by storm. They think they're going to take over everything. AI doesn't have any heart and soul to bring people together. And we got to figure out our digital clogs to throw it in there. And we'll keep a few more jobs alive. But I've been Billy Bones. BILLYBON, the number 3S. You find me on Twitter, at Billy Bones. You find me on Mastodon, the Fediverse, at Billy Bones, at noauthority.social. I've got a website, billybones.com, as well as tabletopwoodworks.com. Shouldn't mix those up. billybones.com. Remember, that's spelled with the number 3 instead of the letter E. There you can find links to show notes, past episodes, links to email, SoundCloud, link that says tabletopwoodworks.com. That's my small woodworking business, handmade small batch artisan crafted gifts to hand out to friends and family, because this show is a value for value podcast. And if you found value out of this podcast, be it the single episode or the entire catalog, fantastic, thank you. I'm glad you did. The first thing that I ask that you do is you give this show a share. Maybe someone else finds a reason to throw some clogs or not get a job at McDonald's, even though they're asking for $20 an hour. But if you thought this show was worth a monetary amount of value, be that the U.S. dollar or Satoshi's teeny tiny little bits of Bitcoin, I accept both. Again, you go to billybones.com, you scroll all the way down, you click that value for value button, it'll take you to PayPal, you chip in, you donate, you support the show in a number that you feel is appropriate. Or if you're using a modern podcast app, modernpodcastapps.com, you're using the podcasting 2.0 system, you can send in Satoshis, like Dame Slamy did. He streamed in 1,272 while listening to the Honorable Princess Pooch and boosted another additional 1,055. My dog cuddled the hell out of me during this episode. Dogs are the best, yes, man. Streamed in an additional 1,812 in Moore's Law, and as well as 1,484 for Don't Feed the Radicals. For 5,623 Satoshis. Thank you, Dame Slim. And then we had Oystein Berge streaming in 1,319 in under Bag Dirt. Thank you, sir. Listen to him on Mutton Meat and Music for some podcasting 2.0 empowered music streaming. To everybody else, thank you for listening. I love you guys, and I will talk to you next week.